Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our results presentation for the first half of 2009. Today, we come with the presence of our Executive Chairman, Francisco Reynés, who will be presenting the results, together with our Capital Markets Director, Steven Fernández, our Controlling Director, Jon Ganuza, and our CFO, Carlos Álvarez. At the end of the presentation, we will open it up for Q&A, where you will be able to ask your questions live through the call. As a reminder, for any press-related questions, please get in touch with our communications team. Without further ado, I will hand it over to our Chairman.
Okay. Good morning to everyone. First of all, I need to apologize because of my voice. I'm having a heavy cold, and probably I will not be easy to be understood. Anyhow, hopefully it will be clear enough. Before starting, I would like to make some comments on our presentation that you have probably already had access to that. It has been sent at 11:30 on our website. The disclosure I want to make you is that we are going to introduce to you our assessment on the CNMC first draft resolutions. I want to highlight that we have only drafts on the table and with still two more circulars missing. That means that we have done our preliminary assessment, and we will share with you the main qualitative aspects of them. We are now focusing on preparing the allegations in the interest for all our stakeholders, and that's the reason we are not still in a position to provide quantitative assessments with sufficient accuracy. Please apologize for our non-response on any question you may have around what we are going to present to you, because we don't want to compromise our allegation process. Again, remember that we are talking about draft circulars for the time being. Thank you very much for your understanding, and let me start with the presentation and the agenda. We will talk first about the CNMC proposals. We will then go for a small recap on the progress on our strategic plan 2018-2022, which I would like to again remember that it has been disclosed 1 year ago and which has an horizon of 5 years ahead. We will then make comments on the first half of 2019 consolidated results, going then in detail business by business unit. Finally, we will remark our main conclusions. If we start with the point one on the agenda, the assessment that the company makes around the CNMC draft resolution proposals on circulars on gas and electricity are clear. On the gas networks, we consider that this is a change, important change on a model that has been given long time stability since many years, compared to the electricity networks, which is a model that is continuing with some important adaptations. On the gas networks, our first assessment is based on the following seven pillars. First is a mid-diagnosis of the Spanish gas system. We think that we have still room to understand a little bit better what is the role of the gas system that may play in the further models of the energetic metrics in the country. Second, the asset base is not enough remunerated. Third is that there is an asymmetrical sharing of efficiencies as per the draft that we have read. In certain manner, there are some obligation of performing certain investments which are clearly not meeting golden rules as the ones we have established for our investments. There is clearly lack of incentivation for growth in this business. We understand that the 6 years period of adaptation to a new model is not long enough for a business which has a much longer life of utilization, and it gives, therefore, uncertainty on how it may go further after 2026, which is the end of this period that we have today on the table. That's why we have assessed that this is an abrupt model change, and the main reason why we are working towards a proper process of allegations to reinforce this argument with clear metrics. On the electricity, is a completely different world. The model introduces changes, but it's a continuation of the one that is ruling the industry for the time being. WACC as a based remuneration procedure has been introduced, and from our point of view, with insufficient risk recognition within the figure, and also compared to other countries, the efficiency factor is harsher, and the transition compared to the gas networks is clearly introducing sense of stability beyond the end of that period. This is probably one of the most important reasons why we consider this model much more predictable and stable than the one that has been written in the draft circulars that are now on the table. What is Naturgy going to do in the next coming months to mainly protect the interest of all our shareholders? First is that we will we are working in the preparation of allegations as per the process is conducting, and this allegation is going to be focused in preserving and protecting the business in the following pillars. First is about the asset-based valuation, which we will demand for a fair valuation. Second is to introduce an adequate risk return adjusted by the circumstances of this business. Third is asking for a stable and reasonable model that may sustain growth for the future. We want to continue the investing, and we want to consolidate growth in the future with reasonable return. And finally, if a model needs to change, should also be in a calendar that has a fair implementation. Having said that, of course, allegations is not the only way we have to defend the interest of all of the shareholders, and we have also opened after that the possibility to start judicial alternatives that will also try to pursue the optionalities for the company. This is the reason why, from the point of view of Netia, which I remember all of you, which is the company that holds the stakes in the different gas distribution affiliates, is today in a process of studying, analyzing all different business alternatives for the future. We want to be clear saying that for us, all options are open today on the table. In the meantime, what we have done is to halt active commercial operations without putting on risk any commitments that we had and we agreed. We will never go against that these commitments, and we will honor them clearly, and not, of course, altering neither the safety or the maintenance investments to guarantee that the level of our assets is continuing being at a state-of-the-art level. We will stand up for all of our shareholders, and of course, as long as we have more clarity of what is finally approved, we will update all of you during the process of the next results presentations in the third quarter and so on. I would like now to take the opportunity to remember how the strategic plan that has been disclosed in June 27 of 2018 in London, with an horizon of 5 years, how it is evolving. And just moving on page 7, when we have summarized the 4 key pillars under which this value creation proposal is based on. The first one is about simplicity and accountability. The second one is about optimization. The third one, it refers to capital discipline, and the fourth one about shareholders' remuneration. I will now to go one by one to see what we have done in this regard in the last 12 months. Talking first about simplicity and accountability, I will just highlight 2 important things. We define in our strategic plan that there were around 3 billion euros coming from the disposal of non-core assets or minority stakes in different companies. We have already made and captured 2.7 billion of them, and we have signed agreements to go ahead with the rest of the different businesses, which amounts around the 3 billion we committed. It goes clearly in the direction to make the company more simple. We have reduced 33 companies, subsidiaries companies that we had in our vast organigram of different societies around the globe. In terms of simplicity, we have flat the organization from 6 to 7 to 3 levels on the management structure. We have fully exited of 4 countries where we had primarily operations, Italy, Colombia, South Africa, and Moldova. And as you have seen, we have incorporated more simplicity but more disclosure across the different board of the different businesses and information to the market. On optimization, the first part is about OPEX. We had established an important target of OPEX reduction, but we are clearly working towards that even more. We can tell you today that the target we have fixed for the year 2019, we expect to be achieved with more than 50% above the initial target of 100 million euros, and we are expecting that it will come to 150 at least. As just a matter of comparison, in the first half of 2017, the total OPEX on constant perimeter, and it's important to see that we are comparing peers to peers, first half of 2017, OPEX was around 1.2 billion. First half 2018, 1.1. First half of 2019, 0.97. Other optimizations which have come into the table is the launch of office premises relocation and optimization in all the processes, targeting 50% reduction on corporate centers by 2022. We are progressing on our lean project, which is going to give more flexibility around IT and the different procedures within the company. We have already outsourced to IBM the infrastructures of IT, and we are in very clear progress of awarding in the next weeks other business stacks to first level of outsourcers. And three, we have refinanced 1.5 billion euros within the half to subsidiaries in order to cancel intra-group debt. We are clearly, in this regard, working on the same direction that we fixed in our strategic plan. In terms of CapEx discipline, looking backward 12 months, in the last year we have invested almost 1.9 billion euros. This investment has been focused mainly in electricity and renewables, in the same direction that we fixed in our strategic plan, who was moving towards the electrification of the company. Of course, all these investments are clearly meeting our golden rules, as well as the investments we have in our pipeline of renewable exposure, that as you may see in page number 10, right side, we have a vast number of projects in our pipeline, which doesn't mean that this is a firm commitment to invest, because all of these projects which are already identified or opportunities which are under analysis will not be agreed if they don't meet the golden rules. Just as a comparison, in 1 year we are expecting to achieve 1 gigawatt more of electricity power installed in renewables. On shareholder remuneration, we are just going to meet our commitments as we disclosed in the strategic plan, and that's the reason why the board yesterday has approved the first interim dividend for the group payable on the 31st of July this month, next week, 0.29 euros a share, with a commitment in the three different payment dates to achieve the level of 1.37 euros a share, which means 5% above the dividend that has been paid in the year 2018. In parallel, our shareholders' remuneration was also considering share buyback. In this regard, 400 million euros for the first 12 months were already in our books by the 30th of June, and consistently with the delegation that the AGM has given to the board, yesterday the board has decided and approved the cancellation of these shares in August. On top of that, the board has also approved the new tranche of share buyback for the next 12 months, July 2018, June 2020, with the same amount of 400 million euros. This is, again, a demonstration that our strategic plan 2018-2022 is a plan which is going to be delivered, and our commitment continues being there. If we move into the third paragraph, I would like to hand over to
Thank you, Paco. Hello, everyone. We're going to move over to page 13 of the presentation that we've sent. And as we do on every quarter, we published it earlier this morning. You've had the chance to look at those, so we'll just highlight some of the key elements that we think are relevant. On page 13, the first 6 months of the year have been marked by quite a relevant headwinds and a very challenging energy scenario, as we will explain further on. Nonetheless, the solid performance of the infrastructure businesses, namely in LATAM, and the de-risking strategy pursued in our merchant activities has allowed us to navigate the headwinds with remarkable resilience and stability. Now, during the quarter, or the first half, Naturgy has continued to make progress on its efficiency plan. And indeed, we have accelerated it and expect to deliver now at least 150 million euros in efficiencies by year end, which exceeds our initial commitment of 100 million euros for the year. All in all, ordinary EBITDA is up 8% compared to last year, while net debt has been reduced by around 4%, thanks to a strong focus on cash flow generation and strict capital discipline, with investments primarily devoted to electricity and obviously meeting the minimum hurdle rates of investments established in our golden rules. If we move over to page 14, EBITDA in the first half of the year reached almost 2.2 billion euros after non-ordinary effects. So if we strip these out, ordinary EBITDA rose 8% to almost 2.3 billion euros, mainly supported by the improvements in the infrastructure businesses and the efficiencies across the company. Non-ordinary impact in the first half amounted to around 127 million euros, and the bulk of them corresponding to capture costs linked to the implementation of the efficiency plan and the CNMC's CCGT. We have conservatively provisioned, but as you can imagine, plan on disputing. It is important to highlight that all business units have improved on an ordinary basis, despite the significant headwinds and the challenging energy environment. And in particular, on the infrastructure side, relevant tariff updates in LATAM, recognizing the FX and inflation movements during 2018, together with stability in the European operations, have contributed to an overall strong performance in the first half of the year. In gas and power, the first half results have been driven by a notable improvement in gas and power services and sales, which have experienced a strong margin recovery in power supply, more than offsetting the headwinds in international LNG and Europe power generation. Now, the company's new commercial policies and de-risking efforts, together with an acceleration in efficiencies, have also helped offset the global decline in gas prices during the period. So all in all, I mean, it's been a positive performance across all businesses, despite the significant headwinds. Now let's move on to page 15 to analyze the evolution of net income in the first half. Net income amounted to 592 million euros, while ordinary net income rose 30%, that's 3-0, to 692 million, supported by the activity improvement and lower D&A. Here again, non-ordinary items mainly relate to the capture costs incurred. And in terms of D&A, the lower amount is a consequence of the substantial write-down completed last year, as well as the life extension of Spanish nuclear plants following the agreed calendar, both having a positive effect, and obviously partially countered as well by the impact of the implementation of IFRS 16. So overall, earnings growth was supported by activity, obviously, and as I've mentioned, lower D&A. Then I conclude with some remarks on the cash flow and the net debt evolution on page 16. We've generated operating cash flow of almost 2.5 billion euros, which is substantially higher than in the first half of last year. In addition to the stronger operating results, the company has experienced a positive evolution of its working capital, which is explained by a number of factors. Some of these effects are related to better working capital management via shortening of receivable days and extension of payables, as well as to other cash-generating initiatives, including an increase in factoring, while other effects are mainly related to seasonality or are merely coincidental. CapEx in the period amounted to almost 700 million euros, mainly reflecting ongoing investments in renewal projects, as well as investments in networks, all of which are consistent with our golden rules of investment. Also during the period, the company completed its 2018 final dividend payment of 560 million euros and bought back an equivalent amount of almost 280 million euros in its own shares, thus completing the first tranche of 400 million euros of its share buyback program. Despite all investments and cash outflows for shareholder remuneration, net debt under IFRS 16 amounted to 14.8 billion as of the end of June, which is down 4% versus December 2018. And with that, I will now hand it over to John Ganuta, who will be reviewing the results by business unit.
Thank you, Stephen. Good morning, everyone. Let's review the operating performance of each of the business units. Starting with gas and power on page 18, ordinary EBITDA increased by 8.8% in a period with significant headwinds during the first half of the year, with especially low gas prices. In particular, the improvement in gas and power and service sales unit is mainly explained by efficiencies and the unitary margins recovery in gas and power supply. It is important to remember our new commercial approach, which has reduced the portfolio of electricity fixed price contracts by almost a third in order to match our generation mix. The result has been a reduction in volatility. Additionally, our contracts are down 3% as a result of our ongoing change in our customer acquisition channels, moving away from traditional high reliance on conventional sales approach towards a more digital approach and trying to select less but more valuable customers. In this sense, we are boosting our cross-selling actions to increase the services penetration in our customer base. International LNG was negatively affected by excess gas globally and the consequent decline in prices, which have translated in lower sales and margins vis-a-vis an extraordinarily strong 2018. Currently, 90% and 68% of our volumes are closed and secured for 2019 and 2020 respectively, providing significant visibility and reducing exposure to fluctuations in the energy scenario. In this respect, we have added increased disclosure on LNG volumes and exposures beyond 2019 in our quarterly Excel disclosure, which we hope increases transparency and visibility on this particular business. Power generation in Spain has been affected especially in the second quarter by low hydro, which has produced 43% vis-a-vis last year. Lower rainfalls and lower gas prices have increased CCGT utilization, but have significantly eroded margins due to greater competition. Furthermore, this comparison versus last year is also affected by the suspension of CCGT's availability capacity payments. International power generation has performed well on the back of new installed capacity of renewable solar in Brazil and wind in Australia, and favorable evolution of the FX. Investment in renewables in the first half of 2019 has been 100 million euros greater than last year, though overall CapEx has been circa 300 million lower due to the two LNG that started operation in first half in 2018. In summary, strong margin recovery in power supply and efficiencies, partly offset by lower margins in power generation in Spain and international LNG. Moving on to our infrastructure business unit in EMEA, on page 19, ordinary EBITDA reaches 970 million euros, up 8%, in the first half of the year as a result of organic growth and efficiencies across businesses. In particular, the improvement in Spain gas networks has been mainly driven by lower OPEX from efficiency improvements, which has more than compensated for a relatively mild winter with high temperatures and subdued demand. In electricity Spain, efficiencies, investments, and lower interruption stems compared to last year have supported a positive evolution. Finally, EMPL has benefited from the annual tariff increase and favorable FX euro evolution. In summary, solid ordinary growth and efficiencies across businesses. Turning now to page 20 on infrastructure South LATAM, ordinary EBITDA amounted to 449 million euros in the period, 12.3% higher than the previous year, driven by tariff updates and efficiencies, and despite the negative FX evolution, which has impacted negatively 46 million euros. Overall, results have been driven by tariff updates, recognizing the FX and inflation movements during 2018, as well as efficiencies across businesses. In Chile electricity, the revenues associated to the investments done for the Norma Técnica, tariff indexation and efficiencies have been partially offset by lower activity and FX. In Chile gas, we have seen higher sales and margins and efficiencies. In Brazil, results have been driven by the tariff update since January, lower demand, especially in thermal generation, due to high rainfall and efficiencies. Finally, in Argentina, the tariff updates and significant increase in non-residential demand have been offset by the still significant FX depreciation in the period. CapEx has gone down due to different reasons. In Chile, electricity is mainly delaying permits. In Brazil, as a result of the change of the growth strategy towards higher consumption clients. And in Argentina, awaiting to see how the country situation evolves. All in all, Infra South LATAM has experienced a strong improvement, mainly driven by tariff updates and efficiencies. Finally, moving into infrastructure, North LATAM on page 21, results have equally been impacted by regulatory updates and efficiencies. First half 2019, ordinary EBITDA amounted to 190 million euros, up 57%, on the back of positive regulatory impacts, higher demand, and efficiency improvements. In Mexico, the positive evolution was driven by the regulatory tariff update and annual tariff indexation, demand growth and better supply margins, as well as efficiency improvements. In Panama, the positive evolution is explained by the tariff update under the new regulatory period and the higher demand as a consequence of the temperatures increase compared to last year. CapEx in Mexico is down as a result of the change in the growth strategy. So, to summarize the first half results on page 23, the first 6 months of the year have been marked by quite relevant headwinds and a very challenging energy scenario, including, amongst others, excess gas and declining gas prices, low hydro and margin prices, pressure on thermal generation, or a winter with very mild temperatures. Despite this, the solid performance of the infrastructure business and the de-risking strategy pursued by our merchant activities has increased visibility and resource stability, with ordinary growth across the four business units compared to last year. In addition, we have accelerated on the delivery of the efficiency plan and expected to deliver at least 100 million and 50 million euros efficiencies by year end, exceeding our initial commitment of 100 million euros for 2019. In terms of investment, we would highlight that during the last 12 months or since the launch of the strategic plan, the company has allocated 70% of its total CapEx to renewables and electricity networks. Finally, cash flow generation has led to a reduction in net debt. As a result of the above, and taking into account the current FX and commodity prices forward for the second half of the year, we are confident that we are on track to meet our guidance for 2019. We are aware that some might be skeptical, taking into account that taking two times the first half ordinary EBITDA, we reached 4.5 ordinary EBITDA, out of which we should subtract non-ordinary items, which by first half, as Stephen has already said, amount to 127 million euros. Three things we would like to point out. First, the acceleration of the first efficiencies plan has two main benefits. On the one hand, the obvious results improvement, but on the other hand, most of these new efficiencies are targeted on non-FTEs costs. Therefore, we can meet this year's commitment to efficiencies whilst reducing the need for capture costs. We will only incur more capture costs in as much as we identify non-ordinary positive effects that allow us to undertake them. Second, LATAM South has several effects that improve the outlook of second half versus first half. On average, and if we look at historical data, we are always better in the second half than on the first half, due mainly to offshore winter. And on top of that, we have the positive effect of the asset swap of Argentina, which was already mentioned. Third, new assets are coming online, be it in distribution, transmission, renewables, or others. There is also a potential upside, though we do not rely on this, is that many of our business have had a first half of weather conditions that have been under the historical average and a certain reversal to the mean ought to be expected. I will now hand it over to the chairman for final remarks.
Thank you, Jon. Again, I would like just to highlight how we are now 1 year after we present our first strategic plan on a 5 year basis and what we have done on simplification and business positioning, 2.9 billion euros divested in businesses which incorporated either complexity or lack of future growth. On the efficiency, one of the key pillars of the company's transformation, we have already achieved an OPEX reduction comparing the first 6 months of this year to the 6 months of last year with around 15%. On capital deployment for the energy transition, which is under the scope of meeting our golden rules, we will increase by almost a gigawatt on projects which have been developed organically at home. And finally, on shareholders' remuneration, we have already delivered what we committed in the last month. Our shareholders have got 1.7 billion across dividends and share buybacks. That means that we confirm for these reasons not only by the results of these first 12 months, but also looking ahead for the coming years, that we will strong delivering the commitments established in our strategic plan 2018-2022. I hand it over to Stephen, which is now going to manage the Q&A results. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So we are ready to answer any questions you may have.
If you would like to ask a question, please press star one on your telephone keypad now. If you would like to remove your question, please press star two. If you're listening to the call online, please click the flag button to ask your question and ensure that your audio device is not muted. Please note that we will not be taking questions from the press or media. All of these inquiries should be sent to the communications team. Our first question today comes from Javier Suarez from Mediobanca. Please go ahead, Javier.
Hi, good morning. This is Javier at Mediobanca. Thank you for taking my questions. I have three. The first one is on the guidance. I think that on the full year 2019 presentation, there was an outlook for 2019 that was including EBITDA, net income, CapEx, and net debt. Can you clarify that when you are saying that you are sticking to those targets, you are including the four of them, the EBITDA, net income, CapEx, or net debt, or we should expect any deviation at this stage in any of these four targets? That is the first question. The second question is on the regulatory proposal on slide number four. We have put a detailed quantitative assessment on your view on the latest proposal by CNMC. The question is that if the regulatory cut were to be confirmed, which would be Naturgy's managerial decision, so that becomes worse and then the regulatory proposal remains unchanged, what is the decision that you would managerially taking? Which is the first priority that you would have, and the second and the third, that would be including reducing CapEx or the dividend, which is the last line of defense that the company has against this regulatory proposal. And then the third question that I have was on an update on the pending regulatory settlement or discussions on Colombia, on Electrocaribe, and then the possible settlement on Egypt, in Egypt. If you can give us which is your latest realistic assumption for those two things. Many thanks.
Thank you, Javier. This is Francisco Rodriguez answering the question number two, probably the easiest one, because as I said before, we were not going to disclose more information than what we have already said. And of course, we are now targeting as first and only priority for the next days is about the allegation process. And just to reinforce what is already written in our slide is that we will not give up to any optionalities we may think around Nigeria, depending on how the CNMC saga finishes, which means, as we have written, all options are on the table. On Colombia, just two ideas. One of them is we are expecting arbitrage resolution for the second half of 2020, which means almost 1 year and something ahead, but we are open and working to, if possible, settle out of the court, which is always an option, but never a warranty. On Egypt, as we said in the last presentation, it's our intention to solve the issue as soon as possible, but although we are engaged with discussions with our partners, I would say that we will not give up to the legal proceedings, which are still alive. Then our strategy to protect the interests of our shareholders forces to be in both sides of the table. And I will hand over to John, who will clarify clearly what is about the guidance question.
We reaffirm ourselves on all four guidances that we gave.
Any question? Additional questions?
The next question comes from Manuel Palomo from Exane. Please go ahead, Manuel.
Yeah, hello, good morning to everyone, and thanks for taking my questions. My first question is on the short-term guidance on the full year 2019, that 1.4 billion reported net profit guidance. I listened to what John said about what could be some of the drivers, but given that the first half the net profit was slightly below 600, I wonder whether you are somehow considering any one-off that the market might not be aware of, and I would ask you to, well, if you could share with us. Secondly, on M&A, in the last few weeks, we've read press news about Naturgy being interested in increasing its stake in the Medgas pipeline, and also on the acquiring the ADP hydro assets. I wonder whether this is true, whether you could give us some updates, and also whether you could somehow rethink that initial intention to acquire assets given the regulatory uncertainty that now you have on top of the table. Thank you very much.
Okay, John first, please. I mean, there's nothing to add. I think that by what I've tried to explain is how it's possible to bridge from the EBITDA that we have in the first half with what would be the full year EBITDA. I think that if you look at the net profit, it translates almost precisely. So there is no need for any non-recurrent issues in order to get to the 1.4 net profit guidance that we gave for 2019. Thank you, Jon. And about M&A, in particular Medgas, first let me again reinforce the idea or the commitment that we have established in our strategic plan about capital discipline and golden rules, then it doesn't only apply to Medgas, but also for any other potential project that may come to us. We have the right and almost the obligation to look at all of them, but we are not obliged to do any of them. And of course, all will be subject to the achievement of minimum returns according to our golden rules. And on Medgas in particular, I want to remember three things about Medgas. First is that existing shareholders, we have a right to match. Any transaction that may come will be subject to a right to match that today is in the hands of Naturgy and Solatrac as shareholders together with TEPSA in this infrastructure. Number two is that Medgas as a business has a ship of pay contracts with super class clients like Iberdrola, Endesa, TEPSA, and same Naturgy until 2031, which are not subject to any instability in the country of origin. But point number three, I want just to again reinforce the idea that the relationship with Argelia is over 50 years today, and it has not been any problem in deliveries and supply from Argelia to Spain on gas. Having said that, this is a potential idea which is under analysis and of course subject to our golden rules for investment.
Next question, please.
Our next question comes from Harry Wyburd from Bank of America. Please go ahead, Harry.
Harry Wyburd from Bank of America. Thank you for taking my questions. I've got three. So firstly, it's back on Medgas. I just wondered, according to the press reports, the stake that you were considering looking at would take you to a majority ownership. Is there any physical benefit to controlling the pipeline business that would help you manage your gas business that would go beyond just the simple impact of maybe some accretion earnings-wise from having a higher stake? And then if hypothetically you did buy that stake, would the consideration for that come out of the pot for the buybacks? I think previously you've said that the buyback is subject to inorganic opportunities. So if you spent a certain amount on Medgas, should we then deduct that from what we what we have in our models for you to spend on the buyback. That's the first one. The next two are just on the gas business. So thank you for the extra disclosure on in the Excel on the gas business. Just scanning it now, the key message that jumps out to me is that the open volumes are heavily skewed towards non-Henry Hub volumes. So you just called it REST. But it'd be very useful to know what REST actually means or how we should try and model or think about that. As a starter for 10, should we think that that's oil versus gas spread driven? So, or is it something else? So if you just give a bit more color on what REST actually is and how to model it. And then finally, Iberdrola sold their midstream gas activities. Obviously, they're much smaller than yours. But they still got a reasonable consideration for it. I wonder whether that perhaps altered your thinking in some way about the gas business, given that it's a frequent source of volatility in your earnings. Thank you.
Okay. First number one, apologizes for my answer, but we are not going to make any comment on any press release that has been or any press article that has been written by people which is not in the matter. I mean, the company, as I said, is considering any alternative of inorganic growth that may have sense for our strategy, but subject to minimal level of returns. And, of course, any solution that it may come with should not only be the yes, but could also be the no, will be fully disclosed and the reasons will be shared with the market. But as you may imagine, there are many speculations every day about every company, what they may do, and we will not make comments on the potential alternatives that may be either on the table or invented by someone else. Yeah? Having said that, on the share buyback, very clear. I mean, our commitments are firm, and we agreed yesterday in the board that we will pursue the 400 million for this year. Of course, we don't know what may happen in the next 12 months, and if there is any opportunity that may alter this decision, will be disclosed. But for the time being, we are not seeing any reason not to perform the decision that has been taken yesterday. Talking about your idea about whether or not we may follow the decisions taken by other competitors on different business lines, I want to remember three things here. Number one is that our strategic plan considered only 3 billion of disposals, and we have already achieved between realized and committed agreements the 3 billion that we committed. Having said that, second idea I want everyone to be aware of is that there is no sacred cows in our portfolio, which means that any option may be open. But point number three, which is fully consistent with the number two, is that any attractive proposition has to be always analyzed under the consistency of our commitment to capital discipline and return. Then it doesn't mean a yes or a no. It depends case by case and how they compare to other opportunities that we may have. And one of them is the standalone basis, but others are clearly always available for discussion. I think that John wants to highlight
the other question. Regarding the disclosure that we're giving, where we separate between Henry Hub and non and the rest, we've given this split, first of all, because all of the analysis that everyone does always seems to assume that we only have Henry Hub, which is understandable because it's the only public information that you might have about our prices, but we also wanted to show that extrapolation is going to be not good enough. And the rest, as you said, is basically oil index and different kind of oil index or other indexes that we have.
Okay, thank you.
Next question, please.
Our next question is from Javier Garrido from JP Morgan. Please go ahead, Javier.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Sorry, most of my questions have been already answered, but I would just want to clarify. Now that you have increased your efficiency targets for 2019 from 100 to 150 million euros, is this offsetting any specific negative performance elsewhere? What I mean is, you are keeping your targets unchanged despite the larger cost-cutting efforts. Is this signaling some business areas performing below your original expectations? And then the second question is on the LNG business, and you say that you are gradually shifting from short-term to longer-term contracts. What sort of durations are you looking for in your long-term contracts? Are we talking of 2 to 3 year contracts, or are you able to move into longer term 10, 15 year contracts? Thank you.
Gracias. Thank you, Javier. Let me answer, this is Francisco Reynal. Let me answer the first question and hand over to John for the second one. On the first one, yes, you are right. As we have said, we have headwinds, but that is a demonstration that this company is fully committed to the targets. And therefore, when we see winds coming against us, we do our best to overcome them with enough work, with enough targets that we'll be able to offset them. That's a demonstration that our commitments are firm and we do the most we can to deliver what we commit.
Yeah, there's John Ganuza to answer to the second question. I mean, historically, we felt more comfortable as a company having a long position because the underlying idea was that on the long term, on an average, it made sense to have an open position. The problem is that the volatility that it implies was way too high, and it has been one of the main changes that we've done. If in order to increase visibility and lower volatility, we're moving from having an open position to having a closed position and as far in time as possible. What does that mean? That actually what we want to sign is contracts that are as long dated as possible. If we can sign a 10-year contract, it's better than a 5-year contract, and if we can sign a 20-year contract, it's better than a 10-year contract. So we are looking to sign contracts that are as long as possible.
Next question, please.
Our next question is from Alberto Gandolfi from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead, Alberto.
Yes. Hi, good morning, and thanks for taking my questions as well, mostly follow-ups as well. The first one is on basically gas distribution in Spain. Is there any reason why we should not be using 5.86 billion invested capital, which I believe you gave at the Capital Markets Day, as a proxy for your RAB? Is there any reason why we should not basically apply that 5.8% to this figure? I'm asking because with sort of borrowing cost at or below 1%, a 5.8 return suggested by the regulator doesn't appear overly tough in the interest rate environment we are in at the moment. And so I was just trying to understand if maybe it's the other part of the equation that we're getting wrong. So that's the first. The second one is, can I ask again, sorry, a bit more detail on the LNG EBITDA? I understand the philosophy of extending the duration, the maturity, but where are the margins you've locked in for 2020 already versus the ones you have locked in for 2019? And more crucially, if you go out today to sign a new contract, what are the margins on a marginal contract versus what we have seen now in the first half? It feels the answer should be much lower given what happened to the gas market in the past 9 months, but I just want to make sure I'm not missing anything. And the last one is on supply margins. Is there any way on Spanish supply margins you can give us an idea of EBIT margin, euro per megawatt hour, or at least if you can tell us if you see an H1 level, a kind of a peak level, or if you actually see this level sustainable into the second half and next year, and perhaps the driver here again is cost efficiency. Thank you so much.
Okay. The first one is again very easy to be answered. Until we will not have any firm situation on the circulars for CNMC, we will not adapt any figure. But keep that in mind, as I would like to reiterate again is that all options are on the table after we have a clear scenario under which regulation is being going to rule. Then today, as I said, we are working on the allegations, and of course, if we need to change any figure, we will do it after the circulars are becoming firm, not as they are now.
Going back to margins, you know that the level of disclosure that we give is the level of disclosure that we give. But I mean, you keep on insisting. Talking about LNG, I think that it's obvious that if you make right now, with the current energy scenario, a spot sale or a really short time sell, you are going to make it at a loss on your loss. I think that that's something that's obvious. But as we try to stress several times, we don't want to sell a spot, or we don't want to sell short-term. What we want to sell is long-term, and when you're selling long-term, the kind of margins that you're looking, different kind of margins than the ones that you're looking when you're selling on a spot basis. But if you're selling a spot cargo, it's going to be with a really low, even negative margin with the current environment. Regarding the supply business in Spain, we think that the level of margins that we're seeing in 2019 reflect more what should be the average margins that we should be looking and we should be seeing in the next few years.
Thank you.
Next question, please.
Our next question is from Fernando Garcia from RBC. Fernando, please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. This is Fernando Garcia from RBC. First question is a follow-up of Alberto's question on supply. My understanding here is that a part of this improvement in margins is because of lower cost of procurement of the gas contracts of Naturgy, at the basically selling at similar prices. But my question here is that at some point probably you will need to sell as well to your clients at a lower cost. So that was my first question. Second question is regarding Argentina. I wanted to know if you are receiving any dividends coming from Argentina. And regarding Argentina as well, do you think that things could change there after the elections? And if that of some of the EBITDA of this business could be at risk because of political reasons. And last question, probably you are not going to provide the data, but anyway, because it's factual, I wanted to ask, no, is regarding gas distribution. I wanted to know what third of your assets were built before 2002 in gas distribution. Thank you very much.
Could you please clarify again your first question, because I didn't get it. Thank you.
Okay. Regarding supply, my understanding is that a part of this improvement is that Naturgy is getting a cheaper cost of procurement, but is still selling at high prices to the customers, no? So then I wanted to know if there was a lack there that could mean a worsening of the results versus H1 in the second part of the year.
No, I think that, first of all, I don't think that that would be fair to say that. If you're saying that there is cheap gas for the LNG, there's also cheap gas for the supply business. So I think that what's going to happen in the second half, most of the sales that we have in our second half have already been closed. So we should be looking at a level of margin that should be more or less consistent with the margin that we've seen in the first half.
On Argentina, just two clarifications. One of them is that our dividends, our flow of dividends from affiliates to the headquarters is not relying at all on dividends coming from Argentina. there are non-financing from the parent company to the Argentinian affiliate, non-corporate debt, non-debt, local debt with corporate warranties. But, yes, we are getting some money from Argentina in form of management fees. During this year, the management fee has been continuing at the same level that they were in the last years, yeah, increasing with inflation. That's the situation. And I would like, if you don't mind, if you could repeat again the question on the assets on regulation that you raised before, please.
Yes, sir. On gas distribution, I wanted to know what set of your assets were built before 2002.
This is an information that is today in hands of the CNMC and forms part of the allegation process. And, of course, this is a quite sensitive figure that we cannot disclose for the time being. Sorry.
So next question, please.
The next question is from Micah Becker from Bernstein. Micah, please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. This is Micah Becker, Bernstein. I have one at this point, and it regards the long-term outlook for LNG. So when you made your business plan last year, the scenario you had in mind for a 2022 LNG world, I was just wondering how that has evolved over the last 12 months and how your expectations have changed.
I think that in these past few months and these past few years, what we've seen is that it's completely useless to try to have a long-term outlook in LNG or any of the energy commodities. And that's why instead of trying to kind of guess how the outlook is going to be, what we're trying to do is try to close as much as possible for our volumes and therefore have a higher level of certainty of the results that we can get on the mid and the long term, regardless of what happens with the energy scenario. And that's the kind of a strategy that we're currently following. And also in that line, the greater level of disclosure that we're giving to the market regarding to the volumes that we have already closed.
And I think we have time for one last.
So our final question comes from Jorge Gamarez from JB Capital. Jorge, please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for taking my questions. Just two follow-ups. Firstly, on the arbitration process going on, can you clarify the situation on Egypt? And secondly, when you mentioned that first half 19 margins are good proxy for next year in Spain, do you mean just gas or gas and electricity supply margins? Thank you very much.
Excuse me. We have not heard you well. Would you mind to repeat the question louder? Because the volume was so low that it was impossible.
Okay. Do you hear me now?
Could you a little bit louder, please?
Okay. My first question was on Egypt. If you can provide us with an update on the arbitration process in Damietta. And the second one was on the margins for supply in Spain. When you mentioned that first half 19 is a good proxy for margins for next year, do you mean both electricity and gas? And those were the two questions.
Regarding the second question, I answered a question that was regarding to the gas supply cost. Therefore, what I answered was regarding the gas supply margins. In electricity margins, there are dynamics that they are a bit different, so we could see a difference in second half vis-a-vis second, third, first half. But I answered regarding basically gas margins.
Yeah. On Egypt, as you know, the resolution has been disclosed last year, giving us the right to be paid for compensations. the Egyptians were legally fighting against that, and now we are in the phase of enforcement and alignment, which is going to happen within the next months. No, then that's the reason why I said before that without giving up to any legal opportunities that may be, we are engaged with discussions with our partners, because our intention is to solve it out of the court, if possible.
And with that, we settle the conference call for the H1 results. As always, be reminded that you have additional information in our website, and of course, the whole team at Capital Markets available to answer any additional queries you may have. For those of you lucky enough, enjoy your summer, and we'll see you back in September.
Thank you very much.